You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're back.
Let's go.
Get this thing going.
We're back in action, baby.
This is what we do. Brady's up. We're all up.
Run the damn ball.
We've lost total control of the proceedings here. Ryan Clark is doing the Ryan Clark dance.
Guess who's right again, y'all?
You said it 3 weeks ago in that seat.
It was 4 weeks ago, but it's okay, Greeny, because you have a lot of shows to do, and sometimes you forget how awesome I truly am.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
I love the fact that K-Mar can just shut Dominique up, because we've been trying to do that for years.
No team has taken more from me than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Death in Pittsburgh.
Jeez, bars.
And to that grandma that mooned me that time, ha, ha, ha.
I don't even know what that was, but it was hilarious.
It's not a dad joke. It's a Dan joke. What did the fish say when he hit the wall?
What did the fish say when he hit the wall?
Damn!
Nope. He's a very large man with a very large mallet. Bart's been hit.
All of those butts look the same.
I don't mix up that donkey with another donkey.
It didn't happen to me because I have a very distinctive backside. My wife, Karen, tells me I have a very nice derriere.
Not sure how much more there is to say.
We have so much fun here every single day, and we're so grateful every time you choose to get up with us. We're here at the Seaport, as always. We're brought to you by Chase, Graz, and Ninko. Ryan Clark is here. Sacho is here. The college group will be here. Let's go. We're starting it with the action from last night. The weekend has begun in the Big Easy, or last night. Ninko, we can call it the Big Ugly. Dan Quinn taking over for Mike McCarthy. Not there because of COVID protocols. Didn't start ugly for Dallas. Prescott looking for CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb catches the ball, get north-south. Big play here for Dallas. This highlight makes them look like they played really good.
That's right. That's 33 yards to the one. 13 targets, 7 catches for Lamb. Then very next play, how about this corner pass?
Well, that's a good throw, good catch. Both feet in. That's a touchdown.
That's Michael Gallup in the corner of the end zone making the athletic play. So for Dak, 15 touchdowns against the Blitz this year. Most in the NFL. Cowboys up 7-0. Taysom Hill, meanwhile, gutting it out. He's got a finger and all that. And with nobody open on 3rd and 8, he can take off and run.
Well, he doesn't need a finger to run like this. And he's very athletic. He's powerful. Runs for first down here. Did this a lot last night.
And later in the drive from the 24, how open is little Jordan Humphrey?
They probably went back to the drawing board on this one because you don't have guys that wide open in the zone.
So that ties the game at 7. Now we're late in the first half. Saints down 10-7, but they're driving. They've got a chance. But oh no, we've got a tip and we've got a pick.
Tip drill. DBs love this. Ball's in the air. They go get it. Picks it up the turf. Interception.
That's the Cowboys' 16th pick of the year. Great job by Kearse to haul that one in. 13-7 Dallas at the half. Third quarter. Cowboys tried to stick with the run last night. They couldn't bust it until this one from Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard turning on the Jets, and I don't know what the safety's doing. Oh, I guess I'll just let you score. Yeah, go ahead, score.
It's a poor angle is what you're trying
angle.
To tell
yeah,
us,
yeah, it's
right?
A bad angle.
Poor
yeah.
angle.
He didn't want to get the ball cut back on it, but it's scored.
58-yard touchdown from Pollard. 10-point lead for the Cowboys. Meanwhile, Hill, he's got a finger. But oh, look at the athleticism up and over.
Hurdle. The kid's athletic. He's powerful. And you love his effort.
He goes over DeMonte Casey for a gain of 23. But speaking of athletic, look at Micah Parsons.
10 sacks, rookie, inside linebacker, no, pass rusher. Unbelievable.
The closing speed there. He's got a sack in 5 straight games now. Mid fourth quarter, 3rd and 7. Dak. Cowboys just couldn't put this game away.
There could have been a flag there. Hands to the face on the quarterback, but throws the interception. Saints, they're still alive, but they didn't turn it into anything.
No, Dak 26 of 40, 238 yards, and that pick, ensuing drive. This one probably the arm tipped, but another pick from Hill.
Yeah, it was a tough night for him throwing the football, especially with that finger injury.
Yeah, he's trying to hang in there, but the one thing you don't want to do is throw the ball anywhere near Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, Diggs got the range, ball's underthrown. Another turnover.
That's his 9th interception of the season. But again, the Cowboys don't turn it into points. So New Orleans still has a chance.
Oh.
And then they don't. 29-yard big man touchdown for Carlos Watkins that finally seals this one for Dallas. On the road, they get a win they need. Not the prettiest night, but they take it 27-17. Dak?
I mean, a win's a win. It means a lot. As you just said, the adversity we've faced coming off the last 2 weeks and then coming in this week and just being hit with the COVID, losing the head coach this week, and just, I mean, so many people stepped up.
All right, so a win is a win is a win. But if you just look at the Cowboys, you can basically separate their season into before their bye and since. And you see the numbers on your screen. Scoring is down 10 points a game. The running game is down 70 yards per game. And they're 3-3 since the bye after going 5-1 to begin. And so, Ryan Clark, at that moment in time here on this program, the word Super Bowl were being thrown around very casually around the Dallas Cowboys. Does this look like a team that can put it together for a Super Bowl run to you?
The only time we should use Super Bowl when speaking about the Dallas Cowboys now is if we're talking about Troy Aikman, the playmaker, and Emmitt Smith, because this team isn't playing up to Super Bowl caliber levels. This isn't a team that is showing what they showed us through the first 7 weeks of the season. And actually, they should be very excited that they don't play in the AFC West, because they would be the last place team in that division with the way they looked against Denver, Las Vegas, and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Dallas Cowboys have to get back to the physicality in the run game. But that's hard. I get it. When Ezekiel Elliott has the knee that looks like he can't burst, looks like he doesn't have the explosion. He's great in blocking in the pass game, but he hasn't seen that power football that we saw from him early on in the season. And so now mixing in Tony Pollard as that changeup isn't doing the same thing. Dak Prescott, who was playing on an MVP level, who we were talking about as we talk about Aaron Rodgers, as we talk about Tom Brady, as we talk about Patrick Mahomes, is no longer playing that level at the quarterback position. And defensively, a defense that has some point was stingy early on in the season, that was always opportunistic, isn't enough to overcome these things if this offense can't be dominant. And so do I think they'll still win the NFC East even though that race is tightening? Absolutely. But do I think that they could be sitting home with us after the first week of the playoffs? 100% I do. That's not the Dallas Cowboys that started the season, but that's the Dallas Cowboys we see descending at this point.
That's right, and that's, I want to bring it back, Graziano, to something you said in our first hour that I disagreed with. There was a moment in time when we were talking about Dallas. Can they beat out Tampa? Can they beat out Green Bay, the Rams, the Cardinals to be the one seed? Now they're holding off Washington. I mean, that is not the company that you want to be keeping for as mediocre as Washington has been this season. That's suddenly the company that we're talking about them in. We're not talking about them beating Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or guys like that right now, are we?
They're closer in the standings to Arizona than Washington is to them. So, I mean, everything's relative, right? I mean, are they playing up to the standard they set in the first 2 months of the season? No. Are they having a tough time right now? Yes. Did they win the game last night? Yes. Now, we see teams all over the league. When you start to hit the adversity, do you end up finding a way to win the game? The Saints aren't doing it, right? I mean, they're shredded, right?
Right,
on offense, right? We said the Rams are not doing it. The Packers are. The Cardinals just went 2-1 without their starting quarterback. So to me, this is all part of it. No one's going 17-0. You know, like that. So you have to be able to respond. And I think what we saw from the Cowboys last night is just what Dak Prescott said. A win is a win. They needed one. They got it. I don't think it mattered to them whether they won 2-0 last night.
Obviously, I mean, a win is a win. Sacho, let me just come to you on all this. If there are people who are pushing the panic button right now on the Cowboys and others who are not, which side of that are you on?
I'm on the panic side. I'm 100% on the panic side, even though the Cowboys won the game yesterday. I understand that winning matters, but getting hot at the right time matters more in the NFL. You see the Kansas City Chiefs. They started off slow, yet they got hot at the right time. See, New England Patriots started off slow. They're getting hot at the right time. If you want to be a championship caliber football team, you need to get hot in November and December. And right now, the Dallas Cowboys are freezing cold.
That's really well put. And, you know, Nico, it reminds me of something that you said to me earlier this season about Bill Belichick, that you said he would always say Thanksgiving is when you want to get these things going, right? This is the time of the season. You know, I used to joke around the Cowboys are the best team in the league in July and August. This year they were in September and October. But now all of a sudden it's November and we're into December and they don't look the same anymore. Where are you on all this?
Yeah, but I still think there's time. And in the next 3 weeks, they play the football team, then they play the Giants, and they play the football team.
Yeah.
So in the next 3 weeks, you'll be able to know, as fans, we'll all be able to see where are they going as a team. Mm-hmm. Can they right the ship? Can they correct things that they need to correct? I still think there's time. It's early in December. We still got another month of the season here to see how they can play out the rest of the season.
And how much of this would you describe, RC, as being about the quarterback? Like Dak Prescott, you touched on it briefly at the beginning of this conversation, but we were putting Dak's name in the MVP conversation, and it felt completely reasonable then. How does it feel now?
You know what? It doesn't feel reasonable. I don't think Dak Prescott is no longer. I don't think Dak Prescott is in that conversation anymore. And it's not that he's played bad. When you look at what he was able to do against the Las Vegas Raiders, the numbers were good. And then he got outside of the pocket in overtime and had an opportunity to hit Noah Brown, and he throws the ball behind him to the right in the ground. Those are plays that you have to make to be an MVP caliber player, to be someone that has that award. And we aren't seeing that from Dak Prescott. You go late in last night's game. It's a second and a third down after getting 5 yards on first down, an opportunity to get the first. It's two bad throws by Dak Prescott. One of those sails 10 yards over the head of CeeDee Lamb out of bounds. Dak Prescott isn't playing terrible football, but Dak Prescott isn't playing to the level that he was at the beginning of the season. With the confidence that he was exuding in post-game press conferences, or the opportunities to stand in front of Tom Brady and say, "We'll see you down the road." Those things were said and those feelings were had because they were showing on the field. They were showing on the grass. He was making us know that, you know what? I've been elite. I've been this guy. You just didn't want to give it to me. We aren't seeing that same type of play. And in order for the Dallas Cowboys to be what we thought they could early on in the season, he has to get back to that.
I will tell you this, Dan Graziano, to sort of put a ribbon on it here. Washington plays the Raiders this Sunday. Mm-hmm. If Washington wins that game, mm-hmm. Dallas is going to Washington next Sunday. That is going to shape up to be a fascinating little matchup, because if the football team should find a way to win that one, I think the conversation will be completely different. All right, we're going to do a little feature here called Hopeful or Hopeless, looking ahead to Sunday and some teams' chances to win. Bears, RC, hopeful or hopeless at home against the Cardinals?
You know what? I can't remember what I said, so I'm just going to tell you now, they're hopeless. This is what I feel now. Right now, when you look at this team, and they played against Tyler Huntley, and they couldn't beat him. They had an opportunity to win. Tyler Huntley comes down, has a 63-yard drive late in the game to go up on the Chicago Bears. Even though we've seen them against Detroit get a win on Thanksgiving, I don't think this team finds a way to beat an Arizona Cardinal team that could be the best in the NFL.
That's on the money. Sacho, Giants. Hopeful or hopeless on the road against Miami?
I'm going hopeless. Miami is getting hot right now, and even though the New York Giants have a new guy calling plays, it's not going to be enough for them to beat the Miami Dolphins. Miami's another team that struggled early, and they're getting hot right now. We see that New York, they're making some changes. We don't know where they're going to go. I do. They're not going to win. They are hopeless.
Minko, let me come to you. Jets, hopeful or hopeless at home against the Eagles?
Well, I know Robert Saleh doesn't want to talk about the past, but we'll just look at the history. Jets versus Eagles, hopeless. I'm going hopeless on this.
0-11 all time. The Jets, however, looking a bit like a juggernaut coming off of that win against the Houston Texans last weekend. So yeah, I'm not sure why you're selling short.
Two great teams there.
The suddenly surging New York football Jets. All right, as we continue, this is a great game. Mac Jones facing the biggest test of his career. Can he win in Buffalo? Who needs it more? We're talking about Monday Night Football on this Friday morning. Plus, Big Ben, awful last week. Lamar might have been worse. Huge game in Pittsburgh Sunday. Can the Steelers pull off the upset? We're looking ahead to a huge weekend as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
There's a reason why there's survival odds. And the reason why there's survival odds is because someone beat it. We need your help.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
So don't give up on me.
For us, it's the most important week of the year at ESPN. It's V Week, and our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. All right, back to the football conversation. Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up through some injury stuff. What's going on with Justin Fields?
Justin Fields dealing with that rib cage injury. He has been able to practice on a limited basis this week. Bears are holding out the possibility that he could play, but it's also possible they could sit him down for Andy Dalton one more week just to make sure he's fully healthy and safe. We should know more on this by the end of the day today. The other team in that game is the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray, their quarterback, has missed the last three games due to a leg injury. It was an ankle or knee, I always forget. Anyway, he has been practicing as well. He has a good chance to start this week from what I'm told. Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, who's been out with a hamstring problem. Sure about that one. He seems a little more iffy, but again, we'll find out more on these players' status later today. We do not have to wait till later today to find out Antonio Brown's status. He is suspended for the next three games without pay for violating COVID protocols. Antonio Brown brought a fake vaccine card to training camp, has since been vaccinated, but he has been suspended for the initial violation. The league does not want people faking vaccine cards, and they want to make sure everybody knows that.
Yeah, we talked about that at some length earlier on this program today. Meanwhile, let me jump to what many people are calling the biggest game of the year so far. It's our game Monday night between the Patriots and the Bills in Buffalo. The Bills have alternated winning and losing their last six games, while the Patriots have won six in a row. That's the longest active win streak in the NFL. And our analytics are pointing out the obvious reality that the winner of this game will be in the driver's seat to win the AFC East. Right now, the Bills are favored with a 66% chance. If they win Monday night, that becomes 83%. If they lose, then the Patriots become a prohibitive favorite to win this. And so, Nico, I will start with you as we get to the Patriots here. I remember early this season, you like everyone, expressed some real concerns. Now, all of a sudden, they're the hottest team in the NFL. What do you see for them, and particularly their rookie quarterback, Monday night in a tough place to play?
Well, it starts up front. They're going to have to run the football. That's going to be key for the Patriots. They're going to have to play from ahead. That's another big key. If they can play from ahead, run the football, then they can kind of dictate their, on their own terms, time of possession. Then they limit the touches of Josh Allen. So I really think on the road and controlling the crowd, when you run the football and you play from ahead, that's what takes the crowd out of it. It's really going to be key. If Buffalo comes out and they score first and they're up 13-10-0, it's really going to be tough for the Patriots. So running the football, number one, is going to be huge.
Yeah, RC, we've talked a lot here about the Bills, and for as good as they are, they're not that physical. And the Patriots are the opposite of that. Do you see that physicality being the difference in the game on Monday night?
The physicality is going to be huge. Now, obviously, this team is different when Tremaine Edmonds is at the linebacker position. But let's think about this. Tre'Davious White, their star all-pro cornerback, he's not playing. The strength of this team has been the secondary. And so now when you can't play that man-to-man coverage, when you can't do some of those things that he allows you to do, you have to get some softer boxes. The one football team in this league you don't want to play a soft box against is the New England Patriots. They have a two-headed monster at the running back position. They have an extremely physical offensive line, and they have an offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels that will run the football down your throat until you stop them. I think that's going to be a huge part of this football game, and doing that also keeps Josh Allen off of the football field. To me, this is a game tailor-made for Bill Belichick and the Patriots to win. This is a game that they go into fully confident. It's the best road team in football. It's a quarterback that's not afraid to do what's asked, and a coach that understands winning games when you may not have the most talent at the most important position. And they're going to do that Monday night, and they're going to take the mantle as the team to beat in the AFC.
Yeah, Patriots have not lost a game on the road this year. And how about the quarterback? Sacho, you obviously covered the college game for us, and so you see Mac Jones coming in here. He's played big games before, obviously, for college football playoff and the Iron Bowl and everything else. So the expectation, I suppose, should not be that the moment will be too big for him?
By no means. The moment won't be anywhere close to being too big for Mac Jones. For Mac Jones, this will be just another game. And Mac Jones has been very efficient passing the ball. He's relied on his defense as well. And he's made all the passes that you want a rookie quarterback to make. He's playing better than a rookie. That's what I'm excited about when I watch Mac Jones. If you ask me to pick this game, I'm picking the Patriots based off of patterns, right? Patriots won six in a row. Bills won, lost, won, lost, won, lost. They're coming off of a win, so that you got to expect a loss is going to be next. I'm going Patriots.
That's such a smart way to pick these games.
That's
such a nerd way to pick a game.
For what it's worth, the Bills, Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite at home, which suggests that Vegas thinks the game is basically even, maybe thinks the Patriots are slightly better. Graz, who you got?
I'm going to take the Patriots. I mean, the Bills have been my team since preseason in the AFC, but over the last 4 weeks, the Bills have 11 turnovers, most in the NFL. The Patriots have 12 takeaways, most in the NFL. Right now, the way these two teams are playing, it sets up for New England.
Sacho, you're taking the Patriots.
I'm taking the Patriots. Forget stats. Go with patterns. Pick the Patriots.
One, right. Nico, I think the greatest upset maybe in the history of sports would be if you take Buffalo to win this game. What do you got?
Come on. What do you think I'm going to pick? Patriots. Let's go. Come on. What do you think I am? Do you think I'm nuts? You think I'm silly? How about like Acho over there just like, oh, well, I'm at the roulette table. It's red. I'll go black. It doesn't work that way.
For the record, you also live how close to the stadium?
You could a stone's throw.
Yeah,
a couple
exactly.
Miles.
So you don't want anybody getting mad. How about RC? Is this a clean sweep?
Yeah, it's a clean sweep. First of all, shout out to the Bills Mafia for raising over $100,000 for the food bank in Northeast Louisiana, Tre'Davious White's name. But even with that, y'all going to take this L this week. I'm picking the Patriots.
Wow, this gives me pause. Yeah. Like, I kind of like New England, too. But, I mean, everyone can't be right. So let's see what winds up happening. We've got an entire – boy, are we going to put that screen back up there next week if Buffalo winds up winning the game. All right, let's go take your pick. Some head-to-head matchups. Which quarterback has the bigger day? RC, Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow?
I'm going with Joe Burrow. When you look at what he's been able to do with T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and now Joe Mixon being huge in that run game, I'm looking for the play-action game and especially taking the shots over the top to be big for him. And Justin Herbert's been so up and down this year. I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's the play calling. I'm not really necessarily sure what's handicapping him, but we haven't seen that ascension to the MVP level that we thought we'd see this year. Joe Burrow has the better day and shows why he was the number one overall pick.
Ninko, NFC West, Jimmy G or Russell Wilson?
I'm going Jimmy G. I think that the 49ers are playing really well right now. They seem to be coming together at the right time. Mm-hmm. They're a wild card team to me. I think they might be able to pick it up at the end of the season here last month and put it together. So we all have seen Russell Wilson's struggles, and he's not looking great.
Yeah, a wild card team literally and figuratively. They right now on pace to make the playoffs. Sacho, Daniel Jones or Tua?
I'm picking Tua for this one. Tua's getting hot at the right time. A couple weeks ago, Brissett gets injured. Tua gets in the game, leads his team to victory. All of a sudden, the Dolphins are starting to win games. They're starting to find their mojo. The Giants are not. I think that Tua is going to have a better game than Daniel Jones, no matter who's calling the plays for Daniel Jones and those New York football Giants.
Now, this first weekend in December could be so good. So many good games. And, of course, it began last night. Coming up, how about them Cowboys? Dallas snapping its slide, but it wasn't easy, and they didn't look great. We'll tell you what our biggest concerns are for Jerry's team coming up. Plus, oh, what a weekend of college football. The big question is, will we see playoff chaos? We'll get the college crew back together in a moment to answer those questions. And then we'll see if Graziano can answer this one. I love the question today. Who was the last coach to be favored by more than a field goal in a game against Nick Saban? Well, could it be an NFL coach? The answer is coming up next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we are back, and everyone in the room loves this question. Alabama is a 6.5-point underdog in the SEC championship game tomorrow. Here's the question.
Who was the last coach to be favored by more than a field goal in a game against Nick Saban?
I think he's trying to get me to guess an NFL coach, right? When Saban was with the Dolphins, he wants me to say Belichick or something like that, which might be correct. But when Saban got to Alabama, they weren't, 11-1 right out of the gate. Like, they weren't that good. He had to build that. You know who was? Florida. And Urban Meyer. So that's my guess.
He's got it right. That's correct.
Come on.
That is right. He's right. It's Urban Meyer. That is right.
I told you I was proud of my guess.
In the 2009 SEC championship game. Can I tell you something?
Is he all right? Is he all right over there?
The answer was Urban Meyer. Do you know who won this game? Saban's team won it 32-13. So beware.
Oh, but 09,
that is just an absolutely awesome question and an awesome job by Graziano. Oh, he tried to get him with a college, and he still can't beat Graziano, who was back up. It's still a one-possession game, but he's got the 8-point advantage. Okay, that was outstanding. Back to last night's action. If you're just joining us, game of the night last night, Cowboys, Saints. The Big Easy, more like the Big Ugly most of this night. Dan Quinn coaching in place of Mike McCarthy. Cowboys didn't have much of a running game all night except this one big play. Tony Pollard, 58-yard touchdown. That would give Dallas a 10-point lead in the third quarter. Taysom Hill, meanwhile, struggling last night. And one of the reasons Rob Ninkovich is named Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Micah Parsons is being just a complete monster as a rookie. 10 sacks, I mean, just amazing player.
That closing speed there, just remarkable. And then the festival of interceptions would begin. Taysom Hill picked off here on a ball that it was clearly tipped. And then we got that one there. Now later in the fourth, Saints are still within 10 because the Cowboys offense just couldn't put it away. How about Trayvon Diggs?
Ooh, Diggs has got the range. He's tall. He's got hands. And he goes up and gets it.
That's his ninth interception of the season. And then the Cowboy offense still couldn't put it away, so their defense would. Carlos Watkins, a 29-yard big man pick six. And the Cowboys finally do ice this one, 27-17. And we've been kind of tap dancing around this conversation or this question all morning long. So, RC, I'm just going to put it to you directly. Do you wake up this morning feeling better or worse about the Dallas Cowboys after this game?
I wake up feeling worse about them, and I was feeling pretty bad when the game started. You're playing against a depleted New Orleans Saints team, a team that has the backups at quarterback, the team that has a quarterback that eventually has the Russell Wilson middle finger, and he can't throw the football, throws four interceptions, and you only score 27 points because six of those points is scored by a defensive lineman. This is an offense that was absolutely dominant through the first half of this season, a quarterback who was in the MVP conversation, and the run game that would absolutely make you weak in the knees. We aren't seeing any of those things anymore. Now a defense that was already being stretched, a defense that was already asking a superhuman rookie to do amazing things, they have to do more. And I'm not sure that if Dak Prescott doesn't pick up his play, if Kellen Moore doesn't get into the lab and dial up some easier opportunities for this team, if this defense can help them be what we thought they could be early on in the season. For a quarter of a century, this team hasn't been in the Super Bowl. And if they keep playing like this, you can add another year to it.
So Ninko, you told us earlier you never really saw the Cowboys as a Super Bowl team this year. So what are they? What is this team going into the final month of the season?
Division champs, hat and T-shirt. Yay! You get the hat and T-shirt, and everyone celebrates, right? Like, and then they get in the playoffs, and then it just... just getting the playoffs, and it's just kind of limping to the playoffs. But
that's such a Patriot thing to say, by the way.
Yeah, hat and T-shirt.
Many teams celebrate division championships.
Yeah, they pop bottles, and it's like, But anyway, I'm getting back to originally when I thought the Cowboys in general, Dak coming back from an injury.
Right.
That was my biggest thing. Okay, he's coming off a major injury. We'll see where he's at. Well, he really exceeded all my expectations, and now they're hitting a place where running backs are getting banged up. They're not running the football as well as they were early in the season. That is basically the Achilles heel of this team. If they can't run the ball and you just put it all in Dak's hands, I think that that's really an issue.
To use a phrase that Rex uses all the time with us on Monday, you have to be multiple. You have to be able to do multiple things. And the Cowboys, for at least the first half of the season, were so good at that. They could kill you throwing it. They could kill you running it. Right now, they're really struggling on that offensive side.
The snapshot of where they are right now is not a Super Bowl team, right? The snapshot of where they were in October was. It's not about the snapshots, right? It's about the big picture. They have five games left. That's 30% of your season. Like, there is – look, 2 weeks ago, they're looking at three games in 12 days. They're looking at the left tackle's hurt, Amari Cooper's COVID list. CeeDee Lamb ends up with a concussion. Zeke's playing hurt. Like, they needed a win last night. And it didn't matter if it was 3-2 or 27-17, whatever it ended up being.
Yeah.
They got out with a win. I think I feel better about the Cowboys than certainly I would have felt if they lost.
Right.
But with extra time now to rest before their next game and getting healthier, I think they still have a shot to play like we saw them play earlier.
That's fair. Washington, I say again, they play at Vegas on Sunday. If they win that game, then the hype for Cowboys at Washington the following weekend is going to be a lot of fun to follow. Hold that thought a moment, because speaking of fun, the best day of this weekend might very well be tomorrow. Enormous playoff implications this week in college football. Here we go on Judgment Day. The SEC game, number one Georgia against Alabama. The Dogs have been the best team this season, but they've lost six straight against Nick Saban's team. Let's see what happens. Michigan has never made the playoffs. They've not won the Big Ten since 2004. All that comes to an end if they beat Iowa tomorrow night. History on the line in the AAC. Cincinnati looking to become the first group of five team to make the playoff. They take on Houston. That's 4 Eastern on ABC. And starting off the crazy Saturday will be the Big 12 game between Baylor and Oklahoma State. The Cowboys are making their first appearance in the Big 12 title game. What does our All-State playoff predictor think? Well, right now, they really only give six teams any chance of getting into the playoff. Oklahoma State, as we speak, is the first team out, but Notre Dame at the moment has a slightly higher percent chance to make the playoff despite not playing this week. So many fascinating ways that this whole thing could go. And we got Heather back with us here this morning and David Pollack, who joins us from the SEC championship game. Let's do some games before we do the scenarios here. And let us start with the Michigan game, because we didn't touch on that at all when I had you guys in the first hour. Let me bounce a scenario off you here, David Pollack. Michigan's a better team than Iowa. In a vacuum, they should win that game. But Michigan is a team coming off winning its Super Bowl, and it has spent all week long basking in the glow of the biggest win that program has had in a really long time. How does that make you feel as they head into a game against an Iowa team that if you make mistakes, they will take advantage of them?
It's the old gambling thing, right? Mike, all you got to do is, Greenies, watch who storms the field the week before and you bet against them the next week, because mm-hmm. they expend mm-hmm. all that emotional energy, man. It was good to see, you know, Michigan cleanse their soul and beat Ohio State. It was awesome. But here's the thing, Greeny. There's a lot of guys on this roster who have suffered, who have not met expectations, who have seen their coach talked about for the last 2 years in a negative way that I think they're gonna be just fine. I think the leadership on this team, I think the defense on this team will, and I think the way they're built with the physicality will be just fine. Iowa's a good football team. Iowa's not a team that scares you, which they're gonna turn on the tape and probably go, man, this ain't nothing like Ohio State. But I just believe in this Michigan leadership and who they've been and who they are. They bring in every week and they're physical.
I think that you just made outstanding points, and that is the part of it. That Michigan, you put on the tape and you say, oh, my God, we beat those guys. Now we get this team here. I agree. This feels like a little bit of a trap game, even if it is, with everything that is at stake. How about you, Sacho, as a former player? What do you think of this one, Michigan-Iowa?
Yeah, I think Michigan wins this game mainly because they can rely on what they've been doing all season in running the ball, number one, and also they don't have to worry about Iowa's offense. Iowa's offense is bottom 10 in college football, and Michigan's running offense is in the top of college football. And so I get it, trap game, all that stuff, but Pollack said it best. This game is about leadership. David Ojabo, defensive end. Aiden Hutchinson, another defensive end. Cade McNamara at quarterback. These people are leaders. DJ Turner at defensive back. They might not have a huge impact on the field or getting after the quarterback because Iowa's going to run it, but these guys know how to lead their team, and they've been leading on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practices. All that will show up on Saturday.
Okay, so that's a huge game. Now, Heather, we'll come to you. You're in Grapevine there covering the actions of the committee going into this final weekend, and there were quite a few things we might see this weekend that we've never seen before. One of them, in theory, is a two-loss team get into the dance. There's all these chaos possibilities. So I'm going to ask you a complicated question. But if we're going to see a two-loss team get in, which one's it going to be?
Well, to me, the most realistic scenario is either a two-loss Alabama with other chaos, because I think their opportunity has been shrinking with close wins. The other one I would keep in your back pocket is Baylor, because if they win the Big 12, they will have three wins against top 15 teams. And if you have other chaos like a Cincinnati loss or an Iowa win, then I think that they have a legitimate chance.
It's a fascinating scenario to me. The Cincinnati of it all is the other place where history could be made. So let's get to the question that you see on your screen right now. If Alabama wins, Michigan wins, Cincinnati wins, and Oklahoma State wins, Heather, then it suggests that we've got Georgia and one of those teams gets left out. In your best projection, which of those four do you think gets left out?
Greeny, the answer to that question is how those games play out. This is the one Saturday of the whole year that the selection committee is over there in the room together watching these games. And if Cincinnati wins by a large margin and Oklahoma State struggles, that could play into the decision. My best guess as we sit here today would be Oklahoma State. I don't know if it's really going to happen, but I think that there's a good chance because I think their resume at the end of the day would be better. But again, I go back to how do these games play out? They are watching. They're watching together. There's coaches, former players in the room. They know the body of work to this point. What does it look like?
How about you, Pollock? If all those teams win, and that includes Alabama, there's only room for three of them because Georgia's already got their spot. Which one gets left out?
I think Oklahoma State would get left out. I think it's going to be a close call. And Heather said Cincinnati, so it made it easy to just go on the other side. I mean, I think it's that kind of close. But I think the point she made is absolutely correct. How do they look doing it? That's a big key. But Cincinnati, obviously, you know, they're fighting against their schedule. They're fighting against past. Like, we've seen it with TCU and Ohio State in the past. TCU got jumped by Ohio State when they were in the four hole going into the last week. We've seen opportunities the committee's had to move Cincinnati up. So I think Cincinnati is a team that has answered every big game this season. I think they will this week too, and I think they could put up a big number against Houston, and if they do that, I think Cincinnati will be in.
All right, I could do this all day long. Guys, thank you so much. Again, Heather's in great fine. David Pollock is in Atlanta for the SEC Championship game. It's just going to be an incredible weekend. Thank you all for getting up here. And we got the big games coming up tomorrow on ABC. Here's what we got. Saturday, noon Eastern, it's the Big 12 game. As we just described, everything is at stake, Baylor and Oklahoma State. Then everything is at stake in the next game. The AAC game has never been bigger. Houston and number four Cincinnati. And then the nightcap, we got Pitt and Wake Forest for the ACC Championship. Should be an unbelievable day on ABC and on the ESPN app. Coming up here, Big Ben had a very bad week last week. Lamar Jackson had his struggles. Huge game in Pittsburgh Sunday. Can the Steelers pull off the upset? We'll answer that question next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, there may be no bigger game in the NFL this weekend than this one in the AFC North. Pittsburgh hosting Baltimore. Ravens a 57% chance to leave the Steel City with a win, according to our analytics. The Ravens not only have the top spot in the division, they're currently the number one seed in the AFC. That means if the regular season ended today, they would receive the only bye in the conference. While no one talks about them as the best team, they are currently number one. On the other side, the Steelers are winless in their last three games with two losses and a tie. Earlier this week, Ryan Clark had strong comments, which prompted a response from Pittsburgh coach Mike Tomlin. And we've talked about that all week long here, RC. And so the bottom line of it is, this feels like a last stand, doesn't it? This home game, and maybe fittingly against the arch rivals, and you've said all the things you've said, and we have followed it all week long. But this really does feel like the end of an era in Pittsburgh if it goes the way most people expect it to on Sunday.
Yeah, this is a situation where you're looking at maybe Big Ben's final chance, Big Ben's final stand. And they came into this season and they gave him another opportunity. They thought that Big Ben gave them the best opportunity for this team to win and compete for a championship. It just doesn't seem that way. And now there are pieces around him that are falling apart, but he's also not doing the things to make any of those pieces around him better. And if you have a veteran quarterback, if you have a guy that's a future Hall of Famer, and he can no longer do those things because he's physically depleted, then it's time for him to sit down. It's going to be a tough decision. We watched this happen to the New York Giants with Geno Smith and Eli Manning. But when you think about what the Pittsburgh Steelers have always been, they've been the team that understood when eras are over, and this one just may be.
All right, so we'll see. I know that's not easy for you to say. Meanwhile, Baltimore's a 4.5-point favorite on the road. Let's take some time and pick this game because this is a huge game. Dan, tell me who's going to win and why.
This game's in Pittsburgh. Whenever I see Ravens and Steelers in Pittsburgh, I think back to a game 11 years ago where the Ravens played a playoff game there. They were dominating them up 21-7 at the half. Somebody who's on this show got an interception. In the third quarter, the Steelers came back. They're playing Renegade. The whole place is going nuts. Steelers come back and win the game that they shouldn't have won. This is not that Steelers team. I'm taking a Ravens.
Oh, I can't believe you did that. I was thinking, like, okay, he's going to go.
I just
want
to talk
tomorrow.
About RC's interception.
RC, was that the McGahee game?
No, that was another game I did bad stuff to the Baltimore Ravens. This is 2 years later.
Fair enough. But Graziano just snuck in.
I think it's a Ray
sort of a nasty pick there. Sancho, Ravens Steelers, who you got?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's somebody who's not walking back into that locker room. I got the Baltimore Ravens. Even last week, when Lamar Jackson threw four interceptions, his team still found a way to win. Last week, when Big Ben was throwing his picks, his team found a way to get obliterated. And so I'm picking the Baltimore Ravens in this one. Sorry, RC, you ain't coming back through the locker room unless Mike Tomlin give you a call. Send him his number. What's RC's number? Get back. Get back, back on the field.
I can't play.
Nico, how about you? Ravens, Steelers?
I'm going Ravens. I'm going with the Ravens, going with the best quarterback. So Lamar is going to get the job done.
Yeah, you've been on the Lamar train, if you will, for a very long time. All right, RC, this one I can't wait to see. Who you got?
Oh, mama.
You know, a wise man once said, he said, "Oh, mama, I'm fear for my life from the long arm of the law." And then shortly after, you hear a sound and it goes, boom, 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 boom. And it goes dark in Heinz Field, and all of the Pittsburgh Steelers fans go crazy, and the terrible towels wave. And for one last time, that's going to work again, Greeny. I am picking the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers find a way to win. By the spirit of old man Rooney, the Pittsburgh Steelers make one last stand, and we beat our rivals, the Baltimore Ravens. Gosh, that felt good.
I love it. I love it. By the way, I think he's right. I think Pittsburgh wins this game. Yeah.
Tomlin should play that back in the locker room before the game. Like that right there.
I think the problem is I'm not sure all the guys in that locker room would understand it. But, yes, I'm with RC, actually. Not that my pick makes the screen. But I like them, too. I like the Steelers to win this game. All right, let's run through some other sneaky big games this weekend. Sancho, Washington football team, Raiders, Vegas. Who you got?
I got the Washington football team. They've won three in a row. I think they're going to win another one. Ron Rivera knows what it's like to coach and to coach good football teams. You saw them celebrating after their last week's win. Washington's going to win. And then, oh, by the way, they're going to beat the Cowboys after that.
Oh, I'm so with you on every part of that. Ninko, Chargers-Bengals, a fascinating game. Who wins?
Bengals, two words, Joe Mixon. He's going to go off against the Chargers. Chargers have a hard time stopping the run.
Yeah.
He's going to go out there. Joe Mixon is going to have a huge game. And they also got, you know, Joe Burrow.
Okay, yes, yeah. Burrow versus Herbert is pretty good. Headline matchup. But you like Mixon to run a ball big. RC, a monster game in the AFC West. Broncos, Chiefs, who you got?
I have the Kansas City Chiefs, and not because of Patrick Mahomes and that offense, though he has been playing better, making smarter decisions. It's about this defense, moving Chris Jones back in the inside, Tre'Davious Ward and Le'Jarius Sneed becoming a very good duo on the outside as corners, and this defense holding offenses under 12 points a game for the last month. They'll find a way to stymie this offense of the Denver Broncos, make enough plays offensively, and get another win.
Kansas City, by the way, is a 9.5-point favorite. Let's quickly get everyone's pick, because this is a huge game in the AFC. Graz, who you got?
Chiefs.
That was nice and concise. Sacha, who you got?
That was very quick.
I got Chiefs. Broncos offense won't be able to do anything.
Ninko.
Chiefs.
Fair enough. I have them too. It makes me very nervous that we're all on that side. I don't think I would give the points, but I do like Kansas City for the win. All right, top of the hour, first take coming your way. Should Cowboys fans be concerned about the offensive issues, and was the suspension for Antonio Brown appropriate? First take, Molly, Stephen A., Tim Tebow, top of the hour, right here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we have a great night coming your way tonight. Star-studded NBA Friday doubleheader. We got Embiid and the Sixers, Trae Young and the Hawks to tip it off, and then the showdown in San Francisco between the two best teams in the NBA. The Suns have won 18 straight. They're going up against Steph and company tonight. Going to be great. We'll start your night with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, as always, we finish up Fridays with our Monday morning headlines as we see the future. Graziano, give me a headline for Monday.
Kyler Murray returns and accounts for 3 touchdowns as the Cardinals improve to 10-2. And never mind that I said the same one a couple weeks ago and he didn't come back. Just burn that tape. This is when I really meant to use it all along.
I like it. Sacho, give me a Monday headline on this Friday.
Graziano's tape is a couple weeks too late. I think the Bears win that one, but I'm going Washington football team wins as well, and they find a way to dominate.
All right, yeah, I like it. And Dallas, watch out what's coming up. Ninko, give me a headline.
I'm going with the Bengals rolling past the Chargers. I really think that Cincinnati, they got the defense, they have the pass rush, they got the quarterback, they got the running back. You put all that together, you got something. So I think that they're going to make a nice little run here in December.
Yeah, they looked so good last week against Pittsburgh. RC, speaking of Pittsburgh, how about you?
Well, this is what is going to happen. It's going to be the A's, and one, I'm not going to have to run off set because I'm sick, and two, I'm going to be teary-eyed talking about the way Mike Tomlin got his message across to the Pittsburgh Steelers to pull out the big win against their rivals, the Baltimore Ravens.
I like it very much. All right, all those are NFL picks, and I will give you mine from the college. I hope I'm wrong, but I genuinely believe Cincinnati is going to be left out of this dance. Ooh, if things go the other way.
Don't do that, Greeny.
I think they need teams to lose. I think this committee is itching to get them out of there. And if they can, I think they will put Oklahoma State in ahead of Luke Fickell's team. I hope I'm wrong. Have a wonderful weekend. It's as good a weekend as you could ever possibly ask for. And we'll see you back in Better Than Ever Monday. First take now.